Greetings and welcome to the Bishop's Radio. I am Mezigon, your host. Let's pray. Our Father and God and Maker of all things, we bless your holy name and thank you for ordaining this podcast to bless, transform, liberate and lift all who come in contact with it. We give you praise because your word is true and you are faithful. Thank you for all the lives that will be touched with this broadcast. We are grateful for the testimonies that will abound. Be forever glorified in and through us all, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll be reading 1 Chronicles 17:1-15 using the New Living Translation. 1 Chronicles 17:1-15. It is a long read, so buckle up. When David was settled in his palace, he summoned Nathan the prophet. "Look," David said, "I am living in a beautiful cedar palace, but the Ark of the Lord's Covenant is out there under a tent." Nathan replied to David, "Do whatever you have in mind, for God is with you." But that same night, God said to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord has declared. You are not the one to build a house for me to live in. I have never lived in a house. From the day I brought the Israelites out of Egypt until this very day, my home has always been a tent, moving from one place to another in a tabernacle. Yet, no matter where I have gone with the Israelites, I have never once complained to Israel's leaders, the shepherds of my people. I have never asked them, 'Why haven't you built me a beautiful cedar house?' Now go and say to my servant David, 'This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies has declared. I took you from tending sheep in the pasture and selected you to be the leader of my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have destroyed all your enemies before your eyes. Now I will make your name as famous as anyone who has ever lived on the earth, and I will provide a homeland for my people Israel, planting them in a secure place where they will never be disturbed. Evil nations won't oppress them as they've done in the past, starting from the time I appointed judges to rule my people Israel, and I will defeat all your enemies. Furthermore, I declare that the Lord will build a house for you, a dynasty of kings. For when you die and join your ancestors, I will raise up one of your descendants, one of your sons, and I will make his kingdom strong. He is the one who will build a house, a temple for me, and I will secure his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will never take my favor from him as I took it from the one who ruled before you. I will confirm him as king over my house and my kingdom for all time, and his throne will be secure forever." So Nathan went back to David and told him everything the Lord had said in this vision. When I came across this portion of scripture recently, I was like, wow. I will tell you why. This portion of scripture made me see that God's response to David's desire to build a house for the Lord was not about Solomon, but Christ. Yes, it was Solomon that ended up building the temple, but that was not what Prophet Nathan's vision meant. Nathan the prophet's vision, in a response to King David's desire, was a messianic prophecy. In truth, which portion of scripture is not about Christ? None. Eventually, all point to Jesus Christ. I take that 11-14 of 1 Chronicles 17 again. "For when you die and join your ancestors, I will raise up one of your descendants, one of your sons, and I will make his kingdom strong. He is the one who will build a house, a temple for me, and I will secure his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will never take my favor from him as I took it from the one who ruled before you. I will confirm him as king over my house and my kingdom for all time, and his throne will be secure forever." There is no way that these verses refer to Solomon in any way. The verses are about one person and one person only, Christ, because he's the one whose reign has no end. Stephen the deacon, right before he was stoned to death, spoke as inspired by the Holy Spirit on this issue in the book of Acts 7:46-50. Acts chapter 7 verse 46 to 50. I'm using the Easy Translation. It says, God was happy with King David and he helped him very much. So David said to God, "May I build a special house where you can live among your people, the descendants of Jacob?" But it was David's son Solomon who built a house for God. But we know that God does not live in a house that people have made. He is the powerful God who is over all. God's prophet Isaiah spoke these words. The Lord God says, "Heaven is the seat where I sit to rule. The earth is the place where I put my feet. You could not build a house for me where I could live. You could not make a place for me to rest there. I am the one who has made all these things myself." The house that Solomon built, as also referenced by Stephen, was to move the Ark of the Covenant from his tent and temporary abode to a stationary abode. Since Israel now possessed their land, there was no need for moving about anymore. It wasn't a home for God, as Stephen equally reinforced Prophet Isaiah, that God does not live in human-constructed facilities. He made everything. He sits in heaven with the earth serving as his footrest. Nathan said it. Isaiah said it also. Well, the Holy Spirit through them and others. Let's hear how Paul the Apostle puts it. Acts 17:22-25, and I'm using NIRV. It says, "Then Paul stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus. He said, 'People of Athens, I see that you are very religious in every way. As I walked around, I looked carefully at the things you worship. I even found an altar to an unknown god written on it. So you don't know what you are worshiping. Now, I'm going to tell you about this unknown god. He's the God who made the world. He also made everything in it. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't live in temples built by human hands. He is not served by human hands. He doesn't need anything. Instead, he himself gives life and breath to all people. He also gives them everything else they have. There's nothing man made that can contain God. God made man. If you can't put God in a man-made temple, how can you hope to put him in a box, as some try to do? He is bigger than every created thing, simply because all created things came from him. And don't forget that we can see everything that man does, because they are confined to the earth realm, while God operates from the spirit realm, which is invisible." 2 Corinthians 4:18, using the Passion Translation, reads, "Because we don't focus our attention on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but the unseen realm is eternal." The wailing walls of Jerusalem are the relics of Solomon's temple. Well, the relics of the rebuilt temple after the first, which Solomon built, was destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar. That confirms the verse I just read and the unrealistic idea or thought that humans can build God a house. Luke 18:35-38, using the New Living Translation, reads, "As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked what was happening. They told him that Jesus the Nazarene was going by. So he began shouting, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' The blind man was able to decipher that Jesus was the descendant of King David. Matthew, the apostle, in the first chapter of his book, clearly shows us the genealogy of Jesus, further establishing that Nathan, the prophet, was not referring to Solomon, but to Christ. When Jesus was asked for a sign, and he gave an interesting response, you will wonder why the Jews never paid keen attention to the prophets. John 2:19-22, using the New International Reader's Version. Jesus answered them, 'When you destroy this temple, I will raise it up again in 3 days.' They replied, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple. Are you going to raise it up in 3 days? But the temple Jesus had spoken about was his body. His disciples later remembered what he had said. That was after he had been raised from the dead. Then they believed the scripture. They also believed the words that Jesus had spoken." The great news is that God, who cannot be contained by any facility made by man, chose to reside in us men. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 6:19, using the easy translation, reads, remember this, your body is the home of God's Holy Spirit. God gave his Holy Spirit to you, and he lives in you. You do not belong to yourselves any longer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now that's cheery news. All men can host God. All men that receive him, that is. That's the condition. The offer is there for all that accept it, all that receive the offer. John 1:12, and I'm using the King James Version, it reads, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen. Receive by confessing and believing. Romans 10:9-13. Romans 10:9-13. I'm using the New International Reader's Version. It says, say with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then you'll be saved. With your heart you believe and are made right with God. With your mouth you say what you believe, and so you are saved. Scripture says, the one who believes in him will never be put to shame. There is no difference between those who are Jews and those who are not. The same Lord is Lord of all. He richly blesses everyone who calls on him. Scripture says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me repeat that, verse 13. Scripture says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. That's it for this week. Don't forget to share this blessing with others. Sharing it shows that you were blessed and you love for others to be blessed as you were blessed. So you see, love is the motivation here, and love is seen in action. Also, listen to this podcast again and again to properly benefit from it. And should you be moved to give feedback, do not hesitate, as your feedback can inspire the next podcast. And always remember that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Stay well and blessings.